welcome to East Meets West. I'm Olga Bataman.
Tara Reid.
And we are having a really thrilling episode ahead. We'll try to throw some light on some really mysterious things, right, Tara?
Yes.
So, and,
Fasten your seatbelts and
stay with us.
Yeah. We have with us someone I've known for several years. He has been a stuntman in Hollywood and gone from that to hosting and creating his own television shows on Gaia and doing some work as far as with the government, or not with the government, but about the government's involvement with UFOs. So we're going to be talking about alternative energy, timelines, time travel, UFOs, you name it. And we're going to take Olga with us on board here on this
wild ride. I'm a bit of a skeptical cop here, so
she is.
This will be my role today, but I'm really excited about, about what we're going to hear from the experts.
It's going to be very exciting. And I have with us a wonderful human being in general, Ruben Langdon. Thanks for joining us, Ruben.
Ruben, thank you so much for being with
us. Thanks for having me.
Really excited.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And you've had a lot of experience working with documentaries, with setting together projects. So maybe you could just kind of tell our audience a little bit about how this kind of aligns with what's happening right now. With there was a big push to release UAP, UFO files, and then all of a sudden they pulled it back. And then we have some other issues to cover too regarding all that, regarding the scientists. But what... could you talk a little bit about the senator you were friends with? I know he passed away, but and how that all came to be.
Yeah, so back in 2013, I produced an event called the Citizen Hearing on UFO Disclosure. And it was a 5-day event in Washington, D.C. And we brought together 6 former members of Congress, recently retired at that time, members of Congress. And we did a mock congressional hearing, very similar to the congressional hearings that they're doing now. With real Congress, only our event was 5 days and over 30 hours of testimony, 20 plus hours of testimony. And we brought over 40 witnesses and experts on the UFO ET subject matter. And at the time, we did the event. It was huge. We had a big sponsorship, over $1 million budget. And at the time, we kind of got laughed out of D.C. in a sense. It was kind of a Debbie Downer or depressing a little bit because here I was so gung ho, and I was a film and movie producer and video game producer, and I had high hopes for spreading the word on disclosure. And then we did the event, and behind the scenes, a lot moved, and I think a lot is of what we're seeing to date with the different hearings that are happening. My good buddy Jeremy Corbell was a partner on the project, and was and he's been a key person of recent in making the current congressional hearings happen. So that's all I know. I don't know all the details behind the scenes, but I know a lot has been happening behind the scenes since the citizen hearing to get us to where we are today. And so that's a little bit about the background with that, and I guess why I'm here talking about this subject. So I've been continuing my research and seeing all of the craziness that's going on around the subject matter in D.C. However, I am not involved in any government activities, and I've withdrawn myself. I live peacefully in the mountains, as you can see by my background. And I enjoy, growing herbs and vegetables, and not being in that chaos. But I am observing and watching, and it's fascinating. And we are entering this time of what's been predicted for as far as I know, over a decade. Since I've done the hearings, that this day of disclosure is among us. We're kind of living through it right now. That we're not alone in the universe. So
Ruben, maybe you can just give our viewers some information that you may have about what is actually there. So what are those files about? And I mean, why there was a promise to disclose them, but then there was kind of they withdrew back. So I mean, what was the reason behind them withdrawing back?
Yeah, Essentially, there was, I think there was a promise to release 40 files and initially, and I think many, a lot of the files did get released. There was a pullback, pushback, and there's within Congress, I'm sure, Tara, as you know, there's many different actors with different agendas and different people who are fighting the good fight. And then there's many that are, you know, working covertly with other intentions that are not so much for the people, so to say. So that battle is happening, especially when it comes with you know, the military industrial complex, which involves this subject matter extensively, and a lot of private sector government contractors, Lockheed and others. So there's a push-pull for this disclosure movement. And I think what happened was the first push, or there's been many pushes, but this one was an announcement that they were going to release X amount of files. And I do believe they released quite a few. And then Representative Luna said that there was going to be another release soon of even more files. So as far as what was released, as far as I could tell, I haven't gone through all of them in detail, but just roughly going through them. For someone like myself, it's kind of a nothing burger, so to say. There wasn't too much shocking, stuff right. that was already been released. Through
just mostly
the,
reports from what I know, like reports of some pilots, reports of just mm-hmm. some ordinary citizens, right, that encountered some extraterrestrial.
There were some NASA files there, so some astronaut reports that they were seeing things that had been released before through Freedom of Information Act, but not officially. Like private researchers like myself would get a hold of things, release them. And then they would be dug up. And then some people would say that, well, they were fake or not, you know, maybe they weren't real. But we did get some NASA files of astronaut testimony talking about seeing things, you know, things that were cut from the public, were not shown from the public, where, you know, they were seeing things. There was also just a lot of other military personnel having encounters and seeing things and then those types of things. So I think it's just part of this behind the scenes effort to slowly disclose the phenomenon to the masses. So there's not a panic. I think every little bit of since the hearings and this push pull mm-hmm. from the behind the scenes, but I think in a bigger sense, I think there's a lot of slow drops, like a time release, to sort of test the waters, to see how the public reacts and make sure, you know, we all don't go crazy and start jumping off of buildings. And also how long can they kick the can down the road? You know, how long can they keep this a secret and keep us under this paradigm of this fake paradigm that we're in here on Earth with the energy crises that we're enduring and other, you know, political, sociological, economical, there's all kinds of, you know, things going on behind the scenes that humanity really should be liberated from. And that's what comes with the disclosure topic, is a liberation from all of these atrocities that humanity has been facing for so many years.
I wanted to hit on the 13 scientists over the last 2 years that have been missing or are dead. And they all mm-hmm. had something in common, even though they didn't know each other necessarily. They were all of them were top secret or higher clearance. So that's a very, very high clearance. All of them had some connection to nuclear or to UAP, like in that field, alternative energy, anti-gravity. But am I saying this right? And what do you know about this phenomenon that's happening?
Well, it's been going on for a long time. There have been scientists and people involved in ET research going missing since the beginning of the, you know, the projects have been, you know, since the Roswell crash and before. So it's from my perspective as a researcher, it's nothing new. I think what is new is the public awareness around it. and that people are, that there's a public outcry and a realization in connecting the dots now that the cat's out of the bag, so to say, when it comes to ETs and the fact that we're not alone, or otherworldly, I should say, interdimensional, otherworldly beings and technologies that involve that. And the researchers and people involved in these special access programs are, you know, of late have been going missing. But that's, again, from my personal opinion research, that's nothing new. I've known many people personally who have gone missing in this field. So it's just now that it's coming to this point where there's enough public awareness, and hopefully this public awareness will continue, and that will be the straw that breaks the camel's back as far as putting an end to the secrecy and to the insanity of researchers getting taken out. My buddy Jeremy Corbell just recently put out a new documentary, someone put out a documentary about him, and he talks about the dangers in that documentary about different groups and people and institutions, entities, men in black that are trying to silence the people, that the whistleblowers and the people that are trying to speak about this publicly and educate the world on this subject.
Ruben, I am actually, as I said, I'm a bit skeptical, but as for those 13 missing scientists that disappeared and either were killed or just vanished throughout the last 2 years, I haven't printed them out for me, you know, I did my personal analysis. And, you know, skepticism is like useless here, because it seems that there really is some interconnection between all of them and the circumstances in which they disappeared. Some of them, for example, left the door open, left their phones in the room. Sometimes the phones were back to default settings. They didn't even have glasses with them. You know, if you have short eyesight, you would never leave your apartment or your house without your glasses, you know? So those circumstances are really suspicious and really weird. But what do you think is behind them? What happened to, in fact, with all of those 13 people? Are they all interconnected, or some are just strangers to this list? Because from what I know, the FBI is even now looking into all of those accidents as a package, as a set, so they recognize that those accidents are interconnected?
I haven't personally done a ton of research into each individual. A few of them I have looked into, and just, you know, again, being in this field for so long, my sort of knee-jerk reaction or my gut instinct would say, yes, there's some foul play involved. And reason being is because they were getting, they were either speaking too much, or they were about to speak, or maybe they spoke to, someone, a family member or someone that they weren't supposed to, you know, breaking NDAs in a sense. There also could have been this, to go far into woo-woo land here a little bit, that there is this theory that many researchers have come to, even Catherine Austin Fitz, the great economist, former Bush administration, what was her? I think she was Secretary of Housing. Right. She even has spoken on conferences and looked at the books and has seen the financial aspects and where the missing money goes. Many call this a breakaway civilization, a group that has advanced technology, black budget technology that has, in a sense, gone perhaps off-world, it could be, or in-world, or just they've gone so dark in removing themselves from just our day-to-day activities in life, where they are conducting affairs or research, you know, scientists taken against their will is some of the talk about, is that they may not be dead. They may be taken and put into like concentration camps, in a sense, where they're working.
Like scientific concentration camps, rather, right?
Yeah, exactly. Where they're not, they're continuing the research, but in a sense, not in a you know, where they're no longer engaged in society. So that could be a possibility too. When I some of the things that I've on with some of the researchers, some of them may have been taken out. Some of them may have been, in my opinion, taken to some of these breakaway civilization programs. That's a possibility too. So there's just, we don't know. And I doubt the FBI is going to find anything. If they do, there are other agencies that will make sure that they don't speak about it. I'm pretty sure at this point.
It's a lot of dark money. Yeah.
Ruben, but what do you think? What do you think about James Comer's? He's the head of the Oversight Committee, who tried to put a blame on other countries for the disappearance of those scientists. What do you think about his idea?
Well, most of the people at that level, I think, are just trying to switch the blame. So no one will look where they should be looking. And usually those who say those types of things, that's probably where we need to be looking.
Those are Russians. Those are Iranians, you know. Yeah. Those are North Koreans who try to steal something, right?
Yeah, that's typical, playbook by those government agencies, unfortunately.
Yeah, and let's get to the why of it. The why of it I don't have your credentials, but the research that you've done over the many decades, but just preliminary research, there seems to be a lot around technology and private companies, like you mentioned, Lockheed, TRW. A lot of those are also weapons manufacturers, so a lot of them they want to kind of put in the Pentagon. The Pentagon is known to have dark programs that they have flunked five audits, I think six now. With where the money goes, right? So we don't, and it's billions of dollars. It's not even millions; it's billions at this point.
Brilliant.
So they're doing stuff that nobody knows about. One of the things that's come out, though, from some of the testimony, is anti-gravity, and this is coming from upper-level military testifying before Congress that the U.S. has technology with anti-gravity. So are some of these technologies? What are these? Is this what they're getting rid of the scientists about? Is this what they're holding back on?
Yeah, I mean, Stephen Greer has a lot of great research in documentaries and information about the technology aspects. And I'm a fan of his more recent documentary. I think it's called The Missing Millennia or something like that. Mm-hmm. It goes into, you know, how we've sort of been robbed. Our natural evolution has been robbed from inventors naturally inventing things and things coming out, and then them being taken away from society. That's always been the goal. With the technologies, you can control the technology, control the society, and we've seen that over and over and over. And when it comes to off-world technologies, that's the treasure trove. That's the golden ticket. So when you have thousands of years of more advanced than where we are now of advanced technology, and you can somehow reverse engineer that and get even some of it working, which we have, a lot of our world today. If you go back to the Roswell crash, and we have semiconductors and fiber optic cables, and there's a great book by Colonel Corso called The Day After Roswell that goes into how a lot of that was disseminated and put into the public sector, but a lot of it was kept in those black budget programs and used for nefarious purposes and of control. And I think that's, we're just in this race to grab as much of the technology as possible, and it's sad, but at least now the general public, the worldwide public, is getting to know this. Where this was the big part of the disclosure movement, that the reasons why it was being kept secret for so long was, in my opinion, the technology aspects.
Wouldn't the United States take the first opportunity to show that they have something? We saw it happening in 1945, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as they got the nuclear bomb, it was immediately tested. So do you think they would show it in any way, like release something at least to scare other countries, no? That, I mean, to show the superiority? That's how it usually is done in the politics.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the way the world ran in 1945 and the way it runs today, I think we're in a very different world now. Yeah. And there's a lot of, you know, covert and behind the scenes, and the art of war is evolved, quite a bit. So, I think both, we had the Cold War, we had all of these different things happening, the fall of the Nazis, and all of this stuff, and all these different groups have been taking the ET UFO technology aspect very seriously, and in Russia too, in the programs. I think some of the your political leaders have even come open and talked about this openly and laughed at some in some cases, but maybe now not so much. And this it's always the art of war is you don't let the other person know what you have. And I think we're in that phase, in this sort of screen and showing we have enough, with the nukes, there's enough, puffing up the chest, and we have more, and everybody can blow each other off the planet.
Dozens of times,
we can blow
up
the planet. Yeah. So the new shift of war in is using the technologies in ways, as they're being used now through our, manipulation of our social media and psychological warfare, using, converting people's, literally beaming, messages into people's heads to make them think certain ways, poisoning the foods and converting, getting people addicted to pharmaceuticals. There's so many other ways to destroy and have weapons and at this point we're no longer talking about country versus country. That's the illusion that we're fed on the mass level to keep this division thing going. But what's really going on behind the scenes is it's a military industrial complex, a technical industrial complex, pharmaceutical industrial complex, and they're all, everybody's in on it, and they're all helping each other out in different ways. So
we're
in a different world.
Yeah,
there was even one guy from a pharmaceutical company in this list of the scientists that disappeared. Mm-hmm. It seems that he has nothing to do with UFOs, but there's definitely something that he could release, some information that he could release.
Yeah, and it just seems that, we've had other guests on our shows. It comes back to this final argument about there is a cabal of people that have a lot of money that are very anti-humanist. In other words, they want to get rid of a part of the population. And it seems like all of these things are converging, and including energy is quite unaffordable in certain countries. Right now in Europe is having a struggle. And of course, there's a big fight over Strait of Hormuz. So is part of this technology having to do with free energy, or is that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the whole disclosure movement is about free energy, because once we understand that the physics that we've been sort of taught in school and the physics that that we believe that the top scientists have pushed the limits of physics, once we understand that interdimensional travel, gravity manipulation is possible, then that just opens the door to possibilities that we were told that could never happen. So now what comes with that is, the big question that most physicists will have is, well, okay, if they're coming here from off, light planets from light years away or other dimensional realities, what's their propulsion system? How are they getting from here to there? And that then opens up this, whole can of worms of that. What we know in our public sectors is nothing compared to what it should be, that this is even possible. So that, that's why this has been a secret, in my opinion, for so many years. And then now that door's opening, And there's a lot of other woo-woo reasons we can go into why that is happening now, but it is happening, and you know, the governments are talking about it, at least the U.S. government is talking about it. Even here in Japan, just announced a military division from the Japanese Self-Defense Force is doing a special investigations into UFOs. I'm sure Russia has many programs ongoing as well. So this, at least the needle is being moved in a somewhat open, you know, we still don't have access to all the files and what's happening covertly, but at least the public is starting to get access to this. And that, I think, will be an exponential a snowball rolling down the hill, collecting momentum to get us to this point where when collective humanity knows, then you can't, you know, then it's just, you know, it's everybody will start developing their energy devices, and we can just kind of get rid of the energy paradigm that we've been stuck in here.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Congresswoman Luna earlier, who has been very out front. One of the dialogues that's kind of I've been listening to is there seems to be a lot of fear around this. She was talking about interdimensional beings, right? UAPs, biologics is how the military witnesses were referring to them. Biologics meaning, but they're saying that they're not necessarily from other planets. They're from interdimension. One theory was they were us in the future. And no longer able to procreate. No, because we've merged with machine. There are all kinds of wild theories. Then there's other theories. You're hearing Congress people talk about this. Tucker Carlson, some of the major news outlets, News Nation, Fox, say that some of these beings are angelic or demonic, like they're even taking it there. So help us sort through all of this. What is the dialogue around interdimensionals and the biologics and what's really happening?
Okay, well, how much time do we have? It's a lot to unpack. So yes, they are interdimensionals, and that's actually my show, Extra Dimensionals. Yes. To really stretch the belief systems here a little bit. Further, I know we've all years ago, or just around 10 years ago, where I interview channelers, people who go into an altered state and claim to channel beings from other dimensions or other worlds. Mm-hmm. And then I interview those beings, you know, and I ask them, what are you doing here? And the awesome thing about that for 10 years of conversations is what the ETs, the beings, the extra dimensionals, what they would say matched up with my nuts and bolts research just to the T. It really fit like a glove. A lot of the nuts and bolts researchers would throw that type of testimony, or they wouldn't call that research because it's just what somebody's saying. But when for me, if I had enough people kind of overlapping and I got enough information that kind of fit, it's just like in a court of law, if you're going to take someone's testimony, that's useful information. So for me, I bring that into the equation, and doing enough research into quantum physics and understanding altered states of reality and how the human body can become an antenna, how we all are antennas in a sense, that information can be sort of tuned like a radio where we can receive information. And we you know, when you do that research, you understand that it is possible. Mm-hmm. So through that research, combined with the nuts and bolts research, they are extra dimensionals. They are, in a sense, coming from other dimensions. In fact, that was the first interview I did. The original title of the show was going to be Interview with ET, and the ET that came through from the Pleiades said, you might want to change the name of your show because technically we are not, in a sense, how you understand ETs. We're not that. We are from another dimension. And then when you start, then the question goes, okay, well, what is time? What is reality?
The fourth reality,
and then you start going,
time.
You start going into quantum physics
quantum
and
mechanics.
Understanding there's, you know, the Everett's world of multiple world theory where, you know, there's multiple timelines and all this sort of out there kind of SF type, science fiction type stuff. And so what I believe what is being talked about and with Representative Luna and others, Matt Gaetz mentioned the hybrid programs. There are multiple timelines, and depending on what frequency we are vibrating at, we sort of snap into individually and collectively into a specific timeline that we experience. And there are technologies, off-world technologies, perhaps, probably, most likely, that certain people, agencies, groups have had access to that can even look into and sort of predict the future to a certain extent. Now, the future is infinite. You know, there's no certainty. Yet we have lots of psychics that try to predict things and are often off. But from what the ETs have told me, or the EDs, extra dimensionals, what they have told me is that the future is not set, and it's really we're creating it in every moment. But what many people, I think, who have access to this technology and these programs, or even are talking to other extra dimensionals that may not have the best interest at heart, the best interest of humanity at heart, they are sort of going into these so-called darker timelines where humanity goes a more technological route, and through its evolution, we forget our connection to the earth and to each other and go full, many of the technocrat groups want to do right now, the transhuman agendas, and they end up sort of genetically modifying themselves and engineering out a lot of the emotion and going into a more mechanical world. And that timeline exists. And I think that's where some of these ETs from those timelines have come back in time, in a sense, to warn us, to give us hints that, hey, you guys may want to try to change your trajectory here because that's where we come from. So there's those types of experiences that people have claimed, including the Bent Waters in England, and I think in the early 80s off of a military base. At that time, it was a secret military base, and many airmen had encounters with beings that they claimed came from the future, and they were trying to warn us about our nuclear weapons and those types of sort of negative timelines, and that we need to sort of get our acts together, or we're going to go into some of these areas. So there's a ton of stuff we can cover here, but in the gist of it, there's a lot of people, religious people, who have, you know, they're using the Bible as their backbone, and seeing these, you know, visitors as angelic or demonic, and we're having this sort of battle on Earth right now of which
battle.
Direction do we go? Spiritual battle. And in a sense, I don't see it quite like that. I think we're moving out of a period of time where things were very heavier and darker for humanity. Now we're moving into a sort of a new reality. And there's a fight, you know, they're not going to go quietly into the night, so to say, for some of these negatively oriented energies are, you know, fighting for their position that they've had on this, you know, this governance over this planet for so long. And this is just part of the course of them, you know, their exit. And they just, you know, they go out with a bang, so to say, I guess. And that's what we're experiencing.
Interesting. Ruben, but if as a Russian, I can turn you a bit back to Earth, if you don't mind, because you are not an alien to Hollywood. And I know, like, you were a stuntman. I mean, you really know how this world, this functions. So let me ask you about actually the logistics of Hollywood, of how Hollywood functions, because I see for ages it's been there, the distortion of history produced by Hollywood movies, and I can give a lot of examples. But for example, remember Armageddon? This movie Armageddon, where there was Russian cosmonaut Leo Andropov, and I mean everyone knows, I mean here at least in Russia, that Soviet Union launched first craft into space, built the first space station, and still Hollywood, for some reason, is showing Russian cosmonaut, you know, as a alcoholic, barbarian guy. You remember, although he helped, you know, the mission, but still they were making fun of him, and I think they were alluding to a real person, Sergei Krikalev. He actually spent 10 months on the orbit instead of 5 months because the USSR collapsed. His country fell apart. So he was a hero, actually, but still he was portrayed by Hollywood, you know, as a weird person, drunk one, you know, who was trying to fix the computer with the hammer and actually fixed it and helped the mission. So I can give a bunch of other examples, but I would love to hear from you how it actually functions. Do they have like daily meetings? I don't know, Pentagon and Hollywood. Where can we else squeeze, you know, a weird Russian, you know, a bad Russian guy? I mean, how does it happen in reality, in practicalities?
Well, on my level, you know, when I was working in Hollywood, we don't know of any, you know, there's writers and directors, and we come up with ideas, we submit the scripts, and it's really, that's all there is to it. I don't think there's any kind of big conspiracy to shift the narrative one way or the other. Now, there is, you know, Project Mockingbird, which is a well-known CIA op that infused Hollywood with money, and certain projects that, so certain scripts or projects that had certain topics talking, let's say, negatively about Russia or putting the UFO topic into a negative package as well, you know, aliens fighting and, you know, wars and these types of things, then those projects would get greenlit and maybe behind the scenes would get a little extra money from the CIA to go that direction, and projects would intentionally be not greenlit if they had, say, positive messages about ETs or Russia. Mm-hmm. So this is a well-known you know, through Freedom of Information Act, all of these things have been coming up, and then we know constantly through, you know, now through the Epstein files and others, that this is just the machine that's working to the propaganda machine to really keep the truth from the people, you know, about how things really are and how to manipulate things, and through media and Hollywood is the best way to do that. So, you know, there's no coincidence that most of, in fact, probably all at this point, of media in America, I can't say for Russia, but I'm sure there's different aspects of big media that are bought and paid for by special interest groups, and it's really hard to get bias, media. And I think that's what we're trying to do here, is just have an open conversation and not have it sway one direction or another.
Now, of course, it's easier for people, you know, to go to a cinema, you know, having popcorn, and I mean, reading a book, specifically some book on history, is an effort, while going to a cinema is much easier. And another example would be Save Private Ryan, you remember?
Yes.
Because that was the Second World War, and we just discussed with Tara a lot on our show the way Westerns is trying to rewrite history. Mm-hmm. And I mean, but the world and the Americans, they're seeing this movie, And they're thinking of his mother, who lost like three sons and was kind of getting closer to losing the fourth son. And they would think that really so many American lives were lost. But as we all know, I mean, there were 20 times less American lives lost than Soviets, for example.
27 million. Yeah,
but they would think, you know, that's the tragedy that's brought to the screen.
Right.
This sort of manipulation, it's either history rewritten or distorted, you know, in such a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably a good place to talk about. And now, I haven't seen the new Disclosure movie, Spielberg's Disclosure movie, that's coming out in this month, next month.
Oh, yeah, it's coming out really soon. Yeah.
So my gut instinct says that, I'm sure it'll be a great movie, entertaining, just from the trailer, looks amazing. But my gut instinct says that there's going to be aspects in that film that are intentionally swayed, a certain direction to give people an impression to think and feel a certain way about the ET phenomenon. So just, you know, knowing that when you go into the theater, I think is a good thing. So we shouldn't just, you know, put our blinders on and expect that to be the truth. It's Hollywood, it's entertainment, but it's also, you know, it's the Hollywood machine that has subtle agendas at play, trying to steer the narrative in a way that most of us are unaware of. So just having that awareness when you watch it is a good thing. So you don't have
to be. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I was going to bring up one last thing, because I know we've held your attention here for a while. I don't know if you saw over the weekend that President Trump released a bunch of memes. It was from the White House. He released memes.
Someone with an alien walking.
One with the alien. He released a meme with alien in shackles with military and Secret Service. And then he, this one was really puzzling to me for a president to do, because it's of a long view of Earth nuking other countries. We can guess where they are. And it just seemed really jarring to me as a United States citizen who's living in Russia, and I'm a Russian citizen, I have dual citizenship, to see the vicinity of what he's bombing, and that as the president, he's putting out a photo of nuclear bombing countries. It just seems very haphazard, very obviously. So could you just speak on that with the ET stuff and what the messaging is and around that?
Well, I think what has not been haphazard from this guy
of late. True.
Everything he does has just been
It was shocking, though, to see nuclear. That was shocking. Yeah.
Well, that's the one thing I think we don't have to worry about. And this is I know this is a big sort of a big claim to make, but over the years of my conversations, over time and time again, and more of recent, because I think it's been on everyone's mind about nuclear intervention or some sort of bomb or war, World War III, basically. And I know there's been attacks on the UAE recently, on just in the past few hours, perhaps, on one of their sites. However, the ETs have told me through my conversations over and over again that they will not. That's the one thing they will not allow to happen. The world will. I think nukes are off the table when it comes to global conflict. Now, they did say small nukes or small things, perhaps like the UAE thing, could turn into like a Fukushima type event or something like that. But as far as nukes being used in a war situation, they will intervene at that point. They do have a sort of like a Star Trek non-intervention kind of rule where they have to honor our free will and let the humans do their things. But because there's so much invested here on the planet with life, and we've sort of gone over this threshold, I think up to 2012 was the deadline where we could have nuked ourselves to oblivion. But since we crossed that line, there is this, when it comes to nukes, they won't allow that to happen. So obviously I can't promise that. That's just what's said. But I do feel assured every night when those types of memes get put out by insane presidents that that won't happen. You know, that's not in the cards.
Well, they're definitely not diplomatic. Yeah.
I mean, again, he's trying to play once again the same card that he already played. I mean,
threats. And then him chaining the alien. What is your read on that? What is his message? There were no words. He just photos. Yeah.
Well, so again, this is, you know, part of my woo world here, and I know, and thank you for going down this world with me for this conversation, sure. But. I've been told one of the reasons so much is coming out right now is that that the ETs have, behind the scenes, given ultimatums, and this year was an ultimatum. They said if and it started last year with all the so-called drones being showing up all over the world, particularly around New Jersey. But that there was a mixed bag of different things happening in New Jersey, but. We have these sporadic sightings that have been happening more and more often, and it's been told to me that would basically if the governments didn't start disclosing that the ETs would just simply start showing up, and that the can has been kicked down the road far enough. So we have this sort of push pull of narratives. Where they are disclosing, and I think the governments who want to maintain that control and grip over the world, when I say governments, it's not even governments, it's the people that are running the governments, the technocrats, the military industrial complex, all those the psychopaths of the world that want to maintain that control, they're playing games. They're trying to say, okay, you know, who's in charge here in a sense. And I think that may be just sort of a little message to the ETs behind the scenes to show that, you know, we're in charge. And then I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing more ships showing up in the sky and more people getting red peeled on the fact that we're not alone. Not that they're going to come and save us, because that's been adamantly clear as well, that the ETs are not going to come here to save us. We have to save ourselves. But through the realization that we're not alone and that our governments aren't in charge and that our governments don't have control over our sovereignty, that's up to us as individuals, that we can make our own choices. And if we want to talk to an ET, we can. We don't need to go through the government to do that. So that's what's coming. And I just encourage everybody to know that, yes, we have to be, whichever government we're living in, Japan, Russia, America, we have to respect the rules of the law that have been laid down, but we don't have to give away our sovereignty and our power to those governments. As individuals, we have the power to do our own research, to look things up, to have these conversations, and eventually to talk to an ET whenever we want.
Well, I think that's the best note to end our conversation on, right?
That was fantastic. Thank you. We covered a lot. I really appreciate you coming. I know it's later there in Japan where you're at, so thanks for jumping timelines and time zones, so to speak.
Thank you for being with us.
And it's wonderful to talk to you again. I look forward to all your projects. I know Olga does.
I did.
And then if you could, where can our audience find your work if they want to look you up and have more questions?
Well, my website is interviewwithed.org or .com. Either one works. And that's probably the best place to find my research on this topic. Also, just my name, my full name, RubenLangdon.com, and that there's links there to on my stunt work and acting stuff in the past, and then that'll jump you over to this to the more recent ET research and upcoming projects as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ruben.
Thank you so much.
And to our viewers, I think we gave you a lot of food for thought today, and I mean food for your comments as well. So please don't hesitate to send us your feedback, your ideas. What can it be there behind the scenes? Would be really interesting to keep on being engaged with you.
We'll see you in the next timeline.
Take care. Bye bye.